Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, along with Mr. Greg Isaac. And Greg, this is exciting because Twilight is coming out. Only a few more Twilights, meaning days. And then, voila, 12 o'clock a.m., Friday morning premiere.
Thursday night, Friday morning. Yeah, that's. I think everyone's looking forward to that. I know they had the actual premiere last night, but for the main audience out there, of course, for the general public, Thursday night at midnight, obviously the midnight showings, and then I'm sure this weekend that it's going to be a big hit at the box office, and it's the finale. So I know a lot of people have read the book, so they sort of already know what's going to happen.
But
I haven't either.
Yeah. So don't tell us.
Well, even if I did, of course I wouldn't say anything. So
we're not the spoiler.
Yeah, no, not at all. Especially not Dave. But it's exciting. I mean, for Twilight fans out there, not everyone's a Twilight fan, of course. I am. You know, it's funny because I don't like. Those adventure type of movies like, Harry Potter and, stuff like that, Lord of the Rings. I remember I had to sit through one of the Lord of the Rings. I think it was the second one, and I fell asleep in the theater for about 2 minutes, and that 2 minutes made the three-hour movie feel like an eight-hour movie. So it was terrible. But Twilight, on the other hand, because normally as people that know me know I like those raunchy comedies like with Steve Carell and Seth Rogen and stuff. But Twilight I do like, and I the story behind it, and I don't necessarily gut it down the way Dave does, where he looks at every little detail about the movie. But it's going to be interesting to see what does happen in the finale.
I'm quite the movie reviewer, that's why.
You are, absolutely. Yeah, no, you go deep into the movie, analyze every little thing, which is perfectly fine, of course. But, I just more of think, the story's good. You watch it once and say, this isn't bad. And obviously you have a lot of the little Twilight fans out there, and then obviously you have kind of a group of people that are like, Twilight, no. But so it makes for some fun. But, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, and the special surprise that we do have at 2:40 here our time in Arizona, we do have actor Boo Boo Stewart calling in. Boo Boo Stewart, as many know, plays Seth Clearwater in Twilight Eclipse, and then as well as Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 and Part 2. So he's going to talk to us a little bit about the movie, and we'll get into some of the stuff that Boo Boo's been up to. So we're very excited about that, and I'm sure if you're a Twilight fan, you'll be very excited as well. And I know we also have, in a couple of minutes here, Christian Mirasan's going to join us to talk a little bit about the Twilight movies. We're basically having an hour of recap on the past movies, and then what we think and what we're looking forward to for the next one. I know Dave's very excited. I can tell right now by the table. So,
that's very good, but it's a very big table. Now, the thing is Twilight, as soon as I saw Part 1, I had no idea it was a vampire movie at first, and I go, oh, this is a vampire movie. I automatically don't want to see it. But it was fascinating to me because I think it's very spiritual, and I'm going to comment on that as we bring in Christian Mirasan to the show. Christian, how are you?
I am good, David. It's good to be in with you guys, and it's actually good to be talking about Twilight because I'm a fan.
Well, I didn't realize that till earlier, that you're a big fan, and I suspect you've seen all the movies thus far.
I have seen the movies, and I have read all the books, but I'm not going to say anything about the the second part of the movie or how it ends. But yeah, it's definitely a really good movie and a really good story overall.
I think so, too. Now, out of all the movies, the first four thus far, which one was your favorite?
I think, to be honest, both books-wise and movies-wise, the first one remains my favorite. There's a different kind of excitement that is in the book than the first one, because that's where you know all the characters. You get to find out who they are, how they behave, and I think it's for me at least, that's that's the best one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the first one really set the tone for this movie. And, you know, it had some high-quality values in it. I mean, it demonstrated, for example, family values, didn't it? Because the Cullens, you know, when they said Bella's now part of us, you know, in the first movie, I thought that was really pretty cool that it demonstrated loyalty and it demonstrated a lot of things that people are seeking in their life, but yet hard to find.
I completely agree. I think the reason why the books and the movies were so successful is because it takes like vampires to a very human level. It brings them down to earth, and compared to like other vampire movies out there, I mean, you're talking about gore and all these weird and very dark things that they show. Well, Twilight, it's completely different. It's very human, even though we're talking about, you know, vampires.
Well, you know, I agree, and there's some other scenes in the first movie that I thought was very profound, in that when Edward was talking to Bella about, you know, his who's the father? I forgot his name already. Not Billy Burke.
Charlie, yeah.
Not Charlie, no, Edward's father.
Edward. The doctor. Yeah, Carlisle.
Yeah, Carlisle. When he said Carlisle, you know, he's very compassionate. And why? Because when people certainly were about to die, right, and there was nothing left to do, he would then turn them, you know, so they could live, basically. And he also taught the family not to go after human blood, but to go after animal blood. And and he talked about how hard that is. Edward did. It's almost like a heroin addiction, and he was able to break it. So this movie is really interesting about basic values, about also basic life skills. You know, how do you break addictions? I really like it. I just think, I don't know if people see that. Now, the teenagers look at the love aspect, and yeah, that's in there. But Kristen, did you, and Greg, did you see that aspect about breaking addictions and doing the right thing and not harming human beings? I mean, those are good values.
Well, actually, no. I was just noticing Rosalie and Bella.
Oh, okay. How about you, Kristen?
When I watched the movies, because I watched all three movies, or actually all four movies first, and then I read the book. And when you watch the movies, it's harder to get that idea that, you know, the symbolism and the different layers of the story. Because it's, you know, it's 2 hours long and there's so much going on that maybe you don't pay attention as you would when you're reading. But when I did read the book, this whole story is unbelievably detailed, and it's got so many different parallels to, you know, real life, that it's a really, really good story.
Well, it really is. But do you see some of these values that I'm talking about, you know, like compassion, breaking addiction, and protection? And I mean, that was what fascinated me the most in part one, the very first one, is that this had a strong message, and a message that certainly the world can learn. And it made it very unique. Now, one of my favorite scenes, let's see if you can guess, in the first movie, what's my favorite scene?
That's a good question. You know, it's been a while since I've seen the first one, but I'm assuming the baseball scene.
Yes. Christian, remember the baseball scene?
I do. Actually, I was going through the movie right now and thinking, what would Dave like? But yeah, you're right. Yeah, the baseball scene, I would say too.
That was a good scene where, you know, they were just having a bunch of fun, and then the other three, well, the meaner vampires came by, and they were trying to protect Bella, and then, well, of course, that other guy, what was his name? The blonde guy.
James.
James. He said, oh, you brought a snack. You know, that, oh, you know what broke loose then? And that was fascinating. I thought that was very cool. I like the family, the Cullen family, cool people. Nikki Reed, who plays Rosalie, you know, she was always a little, sort of not real close to Bella, but that really turned around, and I think it was in part three where they told each one's story, how they became what the vampires, right? Or was that part two? Yeah, I think it was part three, and that was fascinating in itself. Now, who's my favorite vampire girl? Christian. I think Greg knows already.
I would say Rosalie.
No, Alice.
Alice.
Yes.
Why Alice?
She seems so sweet. I mean, she's so nice. She's so friendly. She even made friends with Bella's dad. I remember that.
Oh yeah, she did.
And she's funny, and she goes, yeah. I don't know. It's just. And then the other thing. Wait, one last thing. Then Greg, chime in here. It shows how people can compromise. And the compromise is what? For the greater good, to protect Bella. Where the werewolves and the vampires went against the treaty and they actually joined forces. You got to love something like that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there are so many good characters in this book that it's not like you can just pinpoint one. You know, you like Bella, you like Edward. The werewolves. They're very, very, very good characters. They're very, very good people. And everybody joins in to protect just this one human, just one girl.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. That's what human nature is all about. And neither of these two clans are really 100% human.
Yeah, exactly. Greg.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, it makes the story fairly interesting, you know, to kind of see, and then obviously turns into the whole Team Edward, Team Jacob thing. And I, as everyone knows off the air, I'm definitely Team Rosalie, of course, Nikki Reed.
I'm Team Alice.
Hey, there you go.
But, Christian, what are you team? You just got married, so your team probably, your team Breakthrough, your Team Magazine.
I do have to be Team Edward because the person that I live with, my wife, is even a bigger fan than I am. And she loves the books, definitely loves Team Edward.
Wow. Now, Christian, are you going to see the marathon where they start, you know, early and see all five movies?
That, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to go because my wife works. So I wish that would have been the best because I did not see the first movie at the theater. And there's just a different kind of feeling when you see a movie at the theater. I think that's unfortunately I'm not going to see it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I honestly, as David mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, he didn't know what Twilight was, that it was a vampire movie. I had no clue what it was either, actually, when I went to see it. In fact, I saw it with Dave and my sisters. It was a little outing we were all doing.
But that was my sixth time seeing it when you saw it.
See, I didn't know that. We were all getting together around Thanksgiving time. When was this, in 07 or 08 when the first one came out?
Yeah.
And I had no clue what we were getting into. I was like, what is this thing that we're watching? But you know what? I liked it. And I thought it was great. Not necessarily reasons why Dave likes. I don't look that deep into it, but no, I thought it was great. The first one's probably my favorite. Kind of elaborating on what you were saying, Christian, is how you kind of get to meet all the characters, you know, and even some of the characters at school, you know, that she got to know that we haven't seen as much in the last couple movies, but. You know, we kind of got to see where these you know, Collins came from and everything, and I think, you know, some of the villains in that first one, like James, you know, were pretty good villains. So I thought it made for a pretty good movie.
Yeah, the James was great, and so was Victoria. The other guy, who was the other guy, the villain?
It's Laurent.
Laurent, he
was sort of nice parts to him because he did warn the Cullen family that, this guy, James, is a good tracker. Don't underestimate him. And the girl. Don't underestimate the girl. I remember every line. Can you believe it?
Yeah, he does.
I just. Now, let's go on to the Twilight. We all agree, I guess, that was the favorite. They are all great movies. We're just picking a favorite. Now, the one maybe like the least that was still great, Christian, which one would that be?
I think that if you look even at the story as a whole, I think the second book and the second movie is one of the sadder ones because there's a lot of emotion going on. You know, Edward leaves, Bella is alone. And I think that's one of the books that people might not like as much just because it's a really sad event. I mean, the entire story is about two people falling in love, and the second book is really about them falling apart until the end of the book.
So for me, that's one. Good point. And that's, of course, New Moon. And that it was a new director, I think I liked the overall cinematographic, whatever, if that's a word, part of the first movie. I don't think the second was as good in terms of how they directed it, but it did introduce the Voltaires, didn't it?
Correct. That was a very, very well displayed, I guess, piece of the movie. I think that really showed them as how they really are, I guess, bad vampires, I guess the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree, and I think that had some really good scenes in it, especially the scene when, remember Bella was in the kitchen, and Edward called, and Jacob answered, and do you remember what happened?
I do. Does Greg?
I do, too, yes.
And she goes, we're arranging a funeral.
I didn't know where you were getting
it. Implying that Bella died, and then at that point, Edward wanted to die, sort of the Romeo and Juliet type of deal, and that she got pretty mad at Edward. I guess, you know, he's a young kid, so probably not the best thing to do, but, you know, he certainly liked Bella. But that was interesting, wasn't it?
Stephanie Meyer, and even in the book, you can see the parallel between Romeo and Juliet. So you're 100% right. That's one of the parts of the story. But it just gives you the depth of characters, so both Bella and Edward. This is not just, you know, high school romance that, you know, you go to college and, you know, you forget about it. This is people that apparently can't live without each other. So I think it's a very crucial point in the story that really tells you that this is really serious.
Well, and I think the term they used, maybe not that particular time in that movie, but I know in Breaking Dawn 1, it may have been introduced, and maybe earlier, a concept called imprinting. And, you know, if you're imprinted to someone, you know, then you truly... Oh, no, actually it was introduced... It might have been New Moon. No, I think it was Eclipse where Edward talked about
it. I think so, too.
Yeah, I think Eclipse. Something Edward like talked... Jacob talked about imprinting. And she goes, have you been imprinted? And it looked like he sort of got imprinted in a way... to Bella, but of course, as Breaking Dawn Part 1 already out last year, evidently he was imprinted to the little baby, right?
Exactly.
I think that's interesting, which makes it even more interesting. I mean, think about it, because now his fellow werewolves, right, cannot go against Jacob. That was interesting, because they were not happy. Why weren't they happy, Greg?
Hence the point, Dave.
why weren't they happy? Why did they want the little baby gone, the werewolves? But Seth, who's going to call in about 20 minutes, he may be able to explain that.
Or Boo Boo. Yeah, I think it's mainly because if you have a mixture of vampire and a human baby, obviously there's going to be a lot of havoc wreaked.
You're right.
You know, I think there's a couple things that come into play there, so we'll have to kind of see what happens here.
I think you're right about that. Christian, what's your take on it?
It's actually the story is not very well developed in the movie because it's, you have to put in a lot of stuff in a movie, but in the book it talks how babies, human babies that are bit by vampires and they turn into vampires themselves, are very uncontrollable. They do a lot of damage. You can't really control them because their brain is not developed and they have all this power.
Oh.
Because of that, it has been outlawed by the Volturi. And the werewolves know this as well. They know that they're very dangerous creatures. Well, this is not technically that. It's a different type of being. So nobody knows what to expect. That's why they want to get rid of it.
Oh, would they be called newbies? Is that what they call them in the movie? On the younger army vampires in Breaking Dawn?
Newborn.
Right. I think that's when a person's first turned over into being a vampire.
Versus
half baby, a half vampire, half human. But no, that makes sense, though, that they're pretty uncontrollable. Even my little 2-year-old, I don't think he's a vampire, but he sure does bite, and you can't, you got to get him off you, so, yeah.
Well, he sort of nipped me the other day, and all of a sudden, I found myself jumping 50 feet at a time, that's impossible.
Yeah, it's like when Chucky jumps after you. It's kind of like that when he gets mad and decides to bite, or it's his way of affection sometimes.
Well, you really have a problem when he turns his head 360 degrees.
That was a bit of a problem that day, but no.
But, no, he's a cute little kid, for sure. But so let's go back. We've talked a little bit about New Moon. Now, Eclipse was interesting. That's when they introduced the werewolves. Christian.
Correct. That's the book that really takes the story to a different level. Because up to that point, everything's very, I guess, mellow. There's vampires, there's people, they fall in love. You know, there's these bad guys, the good guys. But in the third book and third movie, the werewolves appear. And that complicates the story a lot, because up to that point, Jacob was sort of, you know, just this one character. Well, now there's a whole pack of them that they have to be very careful. And Bella's trying to turn into a vampire. She's already thinking about it. That's what she wants. Well, in that scenario, she breaks the treaty if that takes place. And that just brings everything to a climax of what's going to happen. What will the werewolves do if Bella turns into a vampire?
Yeah, Greg.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously there's a worry there with the treaty and, you know, who knows how she'll react. And, you know, obviously the whole Jacob Edward thing leading up to that. But I thought Eclipse, up until I saw the first Breaking Dawn, of course, was my second favorite. I'd say the original and then Eclipse and Breaking Dawn Part 1 thus far are kind of tied for second. New Moon, bringing that back up a little, I liked, but not in the same sense as the other ones so far. But I thought Eclipse kind of started taking it to a whole new level. Of course, meeting some new characters. And I think we met the Voltaire or Votori, whatever they're called, the bad vampires.
Voltaire.
Or Voltaire. In New Moon. But in Eclipse, you know, they obviously, we kind of saw more of them. And then the newborns, as you guys were mentioning. So I thought it was pretty good. We got to see, what's her face? Victoria, the redhead vampire,
yeah.
She came back, and so I thought it was a pretty good movie.
I think that was Breaking Dawn 1 is when they had the battle, right? Wasn't that right, Christian, when the newborns, or was that Eclipse?
That was Eclipse. That was towards the end of, that was the main climax of
that's right. Mm-hmm. You're right, Eclipse. Yeah, that.
Right.
Now, one of the funnier scenes, I thought, when Edward looked at Jacob, I think probably in a, well, it must have been Eclipse, and he said, "Doesn't he wear a shirt?" That was funny. Remember?
Yeah, that was good.
That there's some funny scenes there. I liked
it. They added some humor to it. Obviously, with the Taylor Lautner, I think it was a New Moon where all of a sudden he had gained 20 pounds of muscle and his hair disappeared. All of a sudden, you know, I remember in the whole theater, everyone, you know, the younger girls and probably a few guys mixed in were like, "Oh!" when he took the shirt off for the first time.
Wow, I heard that song in the theater. It must have been from you.
That was, well, you know, I was trying to.
Oh, you were imitating.
But, no, it was, no, it's funny how they mix some stuff in. You know, I think sometimes people put down some of the acting with some of the main characters, maybe, like, because the way the story is, you really got to get into it. And I think people that don't understand will sometimes say, "What's Edward doing? Is he overacting there?" But you know, I think they do a great job, though.
Now, Breaking Dawn Part 1, that was an excellent movie, too. Christian, why don't you talk a little bit about Part 1?
I do. I really liked it. I think it was a really good movie, especially the job the director did was really, really good. I'm more of an action guy. I like to see a lot of things going on, like battles, fighting. I like that, maybe because I'm a guy. I don't know. So Breaking Dawn was not my top favorite. I think for me it goes first movie, third movie, Breaking Dawn, and then New Moon. But it was good because it starts the finale. That's the fourth movie starts with the ending of the movie, really, because that's where they get married and the complications appears. And the second movie will be where we see what happens once everything gets settled down.
Now, what I thought, you know, from a neurolinguistic programming standpoint, when in the Breaking Dawn Part 1, and Bella was dying, right? And one of the most interesting things, how people in real life, they will change decisions based on what value they're actually focusing in on at the time. And remember, Edward always said what? Never turn her, right? He never wanted her to be a vampire. Am I correct, Greg and Christian?
Correct.
Yes.
But in Breaking Dawn, when he thought all hope was off, when she was going to die, his values changed. The greater good. No, we don't want to lose her. And what did he tell Edward? Turn her. Remember?
Correct.
That was profound. I mean, it just demonstrates how people make decisions and can change on a dime 180 degrees when their values change. And I think that is fascinating. It's a great...
Usually those are females.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
They change their mind?
No.
Yeah, they do change their mind.
Yeah, yeah. Usually we joke about that, but
oh yeah, but it is, but it, but Christian, right? It is interesting how values can change, and you hear people having traumatic events, and all of a sudden their life changed, and they make different decisions because that traumatic event brought up a higher level value in which they're never the same, and that's exactly what happened. What say you, Mr. Christian?
Yeah, you have this one character that does one thing throughout the movie, that's Edward, and he tries to save Bella's soul. He doesn't want her to turn into a vampire. He will even accept her growing old and die rather than turn her. And in this one instant, that whole thing goes out the window.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, but that's what he lives for, to make sure that she's not a vampire. And then in one instant, that's gone. He makes a different decision because of the situation that he's in.
Yeah, and it reminded me of the movie Star Trek. Remember
Star Trek,
whatever the name
what
was.
Did you say?
I'm a Trekkie.
You've been out of it today. I'll say real quick, and hopefully these people are okay. But we're driving together, and on the way here, you're on your phone in the car, and all of a sudden, what he thinks is a huge dust storm was actually a car flying across the three lanes on the freeway and flying into the dirt, and I believe may have hit another car going off the ramp. So we hope they're okay. But I'm looking like, whoa, but I didn't want to say anything because he was on the phone. And then I just mentioned this a few minutes ago when we got here, like, oh, what did you think about that car that was 10 feet from killing us? And he's like, what are you talking about?
I saw this big.
I'll drive next time.
I saw a dust storm. I thought it was a whirlwind. It was circular in motion.
No, it was like a Kia Rio going across the freeway.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, we hope they're okay.
Where did it end up?
You know, off the off-ramp, there was a big thing of bushes and trees, and it went right through there, and something stopped it, which I believe, unfortunately, may have been another car. But you didn't realize this, and it was 10 feet in front of
us. Boy, do I get focused when I'm on the phone.
Absolutely.
Now, it does remind me of Star Trek. I'll say that correctly. Christian, you're a Trekkie?
I am not.
Okay, well, Captain Kirk, it was in the second or third movie when they started making the movies where Captain Kirk saved the whole crew of the Enterprise, and he died, and they shipped him over to the planet where Genesis was. It's a long story. And during the eulogy, Captain Kirk, great acting, by the way, when he was crying, he said, Spock, you know, he wasn't human, or he's half human. He was the most human guy he's ever met, because again he saved what do you say, the one of the many outweigh the need of the few, and that was as he was dying saving the ship. So I don't know, I'm just bringing that in, just saying. Okay, now let's get back. We went over all four movies, and this is going to be phenomenal. I haven't read the book, so we won't spoil it. Or you won't, Christian, because you probably know. Greg, back to you.
Now, Christian, I just wanted to ask this, because you know, in terms of these kind of adventure movies, I usually don't like them, or the sagas. Twilight's an exception. I do like it, but the Harry Potters, Lord of the Rings, I just never got into.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, I'm usually a comedy type of guy, like Seth Rogen, Seth MacFarlane type of things, the raunchy humor. But I was wondering, though, because you mentioned you like, I believe, action movies earlier. Are there any other types of sagas you like? Did you like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, or like Star Wars or anything like that? Or is Twilight the only one?
No, actually, I did like Harry Potter's. I read all the books, saw all the movies, and I thought that it was a really good series, because you get to see this one person that grows up, really, over seven or actually eight different movies. I did like Lord of the Rings. I thought that was great. There's nothing else that pops into my head right now. But generally speaking, I do like trilogies for some reason, or, you know, sagas, or, you know, movies that go on and on and on. But I do know that there's a point where you have to stop. There's a point where, you know, the story just gets too ridiculous. I don't think Twilight's one of those. I don't think Lord of the Rings is, or Harry Potter. But I have seen a few movies that they lose it. And I think Bourne Supremacy, or the Bourne series, I think that was a really good trilogy. I think the fourth one, for me, didn't do it. because I think they just pushed the story too much.
How about The Hunger Games? I think there are going to be two other sequels coming up.
I did not get into The Hunger Games. I saw the movie, and it didn't click for me. I'm still trying to figure out month after why not, because apparently it's a phenomenon, just like Twilight. There's a lot of things going on, but it just didn't do it for me, and I don't know why.
You know, before I saw The Hunger Games, I didn't think I would like it, because I just thought, it just sounds kind of weird, but I got into that. That's the only other type of, I guess, saga that you could say I like, even though there's only been one out so far. I'm thinking I might, you know, like the upcoming ones too, perhaps. But, you know, I don't read, though, so I don't take a look at the books beforehand. But yeah, other than Twilight and Hunger Games, so I've never really got into any of these sagas like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or Star Trek. I like watching the fans fight, though, the little Star Wars guys versus little Star Trek guys and stuff go back and forth. But as movies, though, yeah, I've for some reason never got into, you know, sagas like that.
Yeah, well, this may go down as one of the best. And in terms of box office, well, Christian, do you know how this compares, Twilight with, like, Harry Potter? They're both big. I don't know.
I do know that Harry Potter made a lot more money because they had 8 movies and they had all this time to get the hype up. The books came out. The first book came out, I think, in 1999, if I'm not mistaken. So I do know Harry Potter made a little bit more money. However, Twilight made a lot. And we're talking about not just sales, not, you know, ticket sales. We're talking about profit, because the margin between how much they spent to make the movie and how much they actually made huge. It's upwards of $1 billion.
Wow, that's amazing. And Stephanie Meyer, we'd love to get her on the show. Actually, we have a request out right now, and just to ask her how she came up with this concept, and evidently a great writer and lives in Phoenix as well. So that should be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, this is a story that starts here in the Valley. This is where the character is from, where Bella's from. So this is like we're in it to some level.
Yeah, that's right. I did see myself in it. I was playing the baseball. Just kidding.
He was. I'm surprised they were able to hit him so far. But again, that's why the vampires have the superhuman strength there to smack Dave around.
Yeah, it was really.
What he wanted was he was hoping Alice would give him a biting, but unfortunately, it didn't happen.
I said,
you.
Please turn me. Come on.
But I got Alice and Rosalie to turn me, so, you know.
Yeah, they're nice. Another guy, the Colonel. What's his name? The young guy.
The Colonel.
He was a Colonel. He's really cool too.
Jasper.
Yeah, they're all really cool. Yeah. Yeah, and the mom. I like the mom a lot.
Bringing the Colonel thing up. That's the other reason why I sort of like Eclipse, because they kind of went back to the story on how they kind of first turned into vampires and what they were kind of doing before they were vampires and stuff.
Pretty cool, huh?
It was interesting, definitely.
Yeah, I thought so, too. So, well, anyway, this Thursday, I guess at midnight, I think some of the theaters have all the movies showing. And I thought I saw something. It starts at 10, but they might have been referring to the part one, perhaps, because I don't think they can release it right till actually Friday, which is 12 a.m.
I believe so. Yeah, check online, Google, check out Harkins Theaters, AMC around the Valley, and, you know, check to see what type of promo they have going on. Yeah, some might be showing part one beforehand, and as you said, some might be showing all of them, you know, throughout the day leading up to midnight release. But theaters are different, and so go online, check it out, and see what you got.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of... I just can't wait to see this. Anyway, Christian Marison, thank you so much for calling in. And let's
talk to you guys.
Oh, absolutely. We'll talk soon, and we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have one of the stars from Twilight, Boo Boo Stewart, coming on Breakthrough Thinking. The magazine will be right back.
Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.